it is. Special Friday night episode of the PNC Progression Wrestling Podcast. It is the MVP episode 305. I'm Elio. He's
Absolutely.
Ben, what's going on?
I love that. I love that intro, my friend. That was well played. It's actually going very, very well. Despite the fact we got a slightly late start tonight. I'm coming off of a workout and a workout related nap. So I'm ready and raring to go for episode 305.
How many
So
do you do during a week?
it's 2 a week. I would do more if I could, but the expense just prevents me from doing more.
Yeah.
Plus, it's like an hour drive back and forth to the gym both ways. So,
Okay, where is this?
it's like an hour away from me. It's called Abington, Maryland. I'm in Freeland, Maryland, which is at the very northern tip of the state.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it's about an hour drive. And then if traffic's bad, it becomes a nightmare.
Oh, yeah, it's not good.
So, yeah.
All right, so slightly condensed version. We're not doing NXT, and we're not doing SmackDown. We only have Raw and AEW. You know what? We're even gonna save that tournament because I didn't do anything today. Today was just a weird day. You ever had one of those like weird days where yeah, that was today. So we're gonna save the tournament. But we do have Dark Side of the Ring. I did watch it, and wow.
Buff was actually, I'm not kidding, Buff was actually one of my early favorites, when I started. So it's kind of cool to see his episode, especially given that he has an uplifting ending rather than one of the tragic ones that typically ends the Dark Side of the Rings episodes.
So that would be fun, talking WCW at the end of the show.
Yep.
But now, when we get into Monday Night Raw, I'm just gonna pull up the notes here. Ben, do you want me to take Raw, or do you want to do this?
No, I'll get it. I got it.
I'll just pull up the notes here.
But I'll need you to cover NXT because I didn't.
You want to do NXT?
You okay? I forgot. We're not
We're
covering
not doing
NXT.
NXT. We're doing AEW. We're doing AEW, which I did watch.
Okay, very good. I forgot. See, it we're so used to the regular format that when we change it, I have to be reminded. Okay, very good. Anyway, high points for Raw. I would say the Chad Gable promo before the Gauntlet match. Becky Lynch versus Liv Morgan was actually very, very good. And the Gauntlet match, I am going to give that a high point because I thought it was very quality wrestling. But it actually barely makes it to high point because there were so many commercials in that motherfucker.
Okay.
It threw me off. Now granted, they very rarely do it like a 42-minute match on Raw, so it's like I get it, but it's like God damn, every 4 or 5 minutes it felt like there was a commercial in
Well,
that thing.
there was one episode of SmackDown where the whole show was a gauntlet match. You remember that one? Yeah, I remember there was one episode of Raw of SmackDown. The whole show was one gauntlet match. You went the whole show.
Yeah, I don't recall that one. But and then I would I'm not gonna give Cody Rhodes a high point, but I'll explain why when we get to the low points. Low points, that's all I have for high points.
And also, I'm gonna play a video of The Rock's response to that segment because I saw that segment when I was scrolling through TikTok and looking at wrestling content earlier.
Yes, you see what you do with TikTok, I do with the Instagram reel things. I've if you're ever on Instagram, I don't know if you are, but they have this this is for the audience at large. There's a account called No Context Dusty, and
What's it called? Sorry, what's it called?
it's called No Context Dusty.
No context.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No Context Dusty. And
Okay.
it gives you like random Dusty Rhodes promos and all this different cool stuff. So
No,
that's like
okay.
one of my favorite accounts to follow. Who doesn't love Dusty Rhodes? And if you don't, something is very wrong with
Right.
you. But low points, luckily there weren't a lot of them. This was a very good show. Damian Priest versus R-Truth. I'm just kind of getting tired of it. And the whole thing with the Miz and R-Truth and the Judgment Day, I don't know. Indy Hartwell, Candice LeRae, and Ivy Nile and Maxine Dupri.
I did see the ending of this. Something about like Candice LeRae was acting like Christian, talking about Maxine Dupri's dead brother. What?
Yes, okay, here's the thing, right? So people need to really shut the hell up and stop being so sensitive. Listen. Do
Uh-oh.
I like it? No. Would I clear it if that was my family and somebody wanted to cut a promo on a deceased relative? No, I would not clear that. That would not be happening. My point is, folks, it's not like Candace, just dropped this out of the sky and Maxine had no idea. This stuff has to get cleared with higher ups and the talent talk to each other about the stuff beforehand. I'm sure Maxine knew about it because if she didn't, it would be all over the fucking place. You know, and the thing is, Maxine has been in the news lately because she got noticed for that one clip at a house show where the people were booing her and a lot of people were like, oh, the fans are treating her unfairly. I watched the clip and the only thing that you could hear in the crowd was some guy said, "You suck," one time. There was nothing personal said about Maxine Dupri.
What's wrong with someone? What's wrong with saying that? That's offense. Say that a wrestler sucks or a wrestler's cool.
Exactly. So it's just,
So what was wrong?
people were saying that, like, she was being mistreated and like you and that she was emotional about that
Okay,
and
just
all this
stop.
other stuff. And I'm like, no, stop
Right.
it. Just shut the fuck up.
I hate people.
I do
Fuck people.
too.
Fuck people. That's it. Ben, fuck you. Fuck people. Fuck you. Fuck me. Fuck everyone.
That might be my favorite soundbite in the history of this podcast. Holy shit. Good Lord. Elio is in rare form tonight, folks. I love it. But no, you're exactly right. People just need to stop being so sensitive.
No, I mean, wait, when did we get when did when did, when is it not when was when did they have a rule that says you're allowed to say some wrestlers suck? Stop.
So
Blowout.
anyway, those are my low points for Raw. What did you have?
So, I mean, I didn't get to see the whole show because, Ben, I gotta tell you, this week I didn't watch any wrestling at all. I barely watched it. Like, I did see some Raw, but, like, I didn't watch NXT. I saw AEW. I just have SmackDown here on the background, but right now they're doing the Rock concert.
Oh, okay. Is it any good?
But I don't know, I have it on mute because we're recording right now.
Oh, well,
So
duh.
I'm gonna watch back later on. But for the high points, I do have Becky Lynch and Liv Morgan. I do have that gauntlet match, and pretty much that was it. But for low points, yeah, I'm over this whole Judgment Day R-Truth business. The Candice LeRae, Indi Hartwell, Ivy Nile, Maxine Dupri match are my low points, and that Cody promo was a low point because
Yeah.
why is this guy always crying?
There were no
Why?
tears. There were no tears in this one.
I
It's
know,
just
but no, but like, it's like he makes a like crying whiny voice. Why does he
I
do
know.
this?
It's just I don't know.
His
I
promos are
really
all the same. Like, you're crying, or you're like, you may want people to
it's
think you're crying. Okay.
Really weird. And then one more question regarding the gauntlet match, because this was really stirring people up this week as well. What did you think of Sami Zayn winning it and not Chad Gable?
I mean, I'm okay. It's fine that Sammy won, but I would have rather had Chad Gable and Gunther at WrestleMania. But I feel like something's gonna happen where they're gonna have like a three-way, which
Well,
I'm not a fan of three-way matches.
yes. Well, and for that very reason, I hope they don't do that. You
Yeah.
know, and the thing is, I understand why people, I understand why people, want to see Chad Gable win. Okay, I do, because they made it personal with, some of the backstage interviews after his last match with Gunther. They did it again after Raw, this past week, and the stuff with his daughter and things like that. But my thing is, for this entire WrestleMania season, and this is nothing against Gable at all, because I'm a big fan of his. So what I have to say is nothing personal against him. It's just based off what I'm seeing on TV. For this entire WrestleMania season, he has been losing or irrelevant. So it's not a shocker that they're going with Sami Zayn one, because they've been running this program with him, with all these interviews in the stands, and I'm not sure what my path is to WrestleMania, but I'm gonna find one. Given where I was last year, and I need to be in WrestleMania this year. So this might sound simplistic, folks, but whether you like it or you don't, Sami Zayn is a bigger name than Chad Gable is,
Yeah.
and I think that's why they went with Sami Zayn as well.
Okay.
And keep in mind, it's not altogether impossible for Sami to still get involved in this Bloodline stuff at WrestleMania, because he was just as in it as anybody else, and that's been on the back burner since he's trying to find a way in. So he might still be involved in that, because I don't expect Sammy to win the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania. So he could lose it on night one and then be involved in a night long. In the Bloodline stuff I almost said Nightline, like I'm watching a crime television show. It's not, it's
So
on.
it's kind of good that Sammy's going for the interim title, because if he loses, he can lose, it'll be fine. Chad Gable, if he loses, what happens to him after?
And that's a fantastic point. I think it hurts Chad Gable to lose at this point a lot more than it hurts Sammy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's all right. It's better Sami Zayn gets this shot.
Exactly.
So
So
that's
that's
all we
all I
have
had.
for
Yep.
Raw.
Yep.
Okay, now Ben, you wanted to talk about the Cody segment, or
Yes, I do.
okay? Because then I have a clip to play.
Okay. Yeah, and I think I'm staring at it right now. The one that he posted 7 hours ago.
Yes, I'm gonna play it right now. Go ahead after you say what you have to say.
The thing with Cody and Seth and their side of this. They're getting steamrolled by the bloodline in this verbal spat.
Right.
They're fucking getting steamrolled. And as we're talking, you guys are gonna catch this tomorrow because that's when it's gonna be posted. But as we're recording this, the Rock concert is happening, and I can guarantee you. The Rock is not crying or doing any of that shit.
Well, I think it's over, but it was like 20 minutes long, over 20 minutes long. That was the first segment.
I guarantee you he's verbally annihilating Cody Rhodes, or he annihilated him. And I'm sure he did the same thing in this 8 minute clip that Elio is gonna play for you. But you know what, folks? The thing is, do I want to see Cody finish his story? Yes. Did I advocate for it to be Cody versus Roman at WrestleMania? Yes. Do I still believe it's the right thing to do? Yes. Having said that, the way that The Rock is turning all of this and integrating it into the heel aspect of things, this is, he took himself from being a real life villain in people's minds, which I think is going too far. I don't think he's a villain at all. It might have been a little selfish, but I don't think the Rock should have ever been considered a villain for doing this. It's wrestling, it's business, for fuck's sake. Get a grip.
And actually, after I saw this video, I'm like, geez, this guy's doing his job at playing the villain role, because
But I mean it,
that
but it's so entertaining, and I can't wait to
promo.
listen to it because I haven't heard it yet.
Oh, you haven't
So
heard it yet? So this is the
no,
first
no,
time?
right. So I can't wait. So,
Oh, okay.
but if this is all that Cody has to offer on the road to WrestleMania, I'm not interested. And because every time he steps in the ring now, I'm falling asleep, and like I'm pulling out the tissues to give it to him virtually so he can reach to the TV and grab a tissue out of my hand. Like
Yeah, Ben. Sorry,
I
go
don't
on.
care.
Yeah. No, but I'm gonna play this, but I'm gonna mute you, because I'm gonna while I'm playing this, okay?
Okay.
All right, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Good morning. Good morning on this Friday morning. Did you guys have a good week? Did you have a productive week? I hope so. Did you get a lot of ass kicking done? I hope so. You're gonna end your week on a down note, or you're gonna end your week on an uptick, getting momentum going into the weekend? I hope so. It's been a big week. It has been an exciting week. It's a big week here in the world of professional wrestling because once again, professional wrestling is cool. Once again, professional wrestling is relevant. Once again, everyone's talking about professional wrestling. Why? Because of one man. And you're looking at him because of The Rock, because of the People's Champion. Professional wrestling is happening because of the final boss, The Rock. And it feels good. It feels good. Selling out everywhere. From Dallas, Texas, Glendale, Arizona, Salt Lake City, Utah, Memphis, Tennessee. Tonight, after this workout, The Rock is gonna jump on his private jet. He's gonna fly down to Memphis, Tennessee and get ready. Live SmackDown, The Rock is coming home, baby. Cannot wait. That's good unleaded. That's good unleaded. It's been a big week though. A lot to celebrate. Ratings are up. Sellouts everywhere The Rock goes. Wrestling is cool again, all because of The Rock. It's also been a big week because everyone is talking. Last week, everyone is talking about the slap that was heard around the world. Finally, Cody Rhodes grew some balls. Finally, that little boy got some hair on his nuts and he slapped the shit out of The Rock. He slapped the shit out of me. Take a look. Well done, Cody Rhodes. The Rock has been waiting for you to man up, giving him a challenge that's worthy of the great one. Ooh, that was a good slap too. What did The Rock do? He didn't pretend like he was angry. He didn't get a bunch of goofs and jabronis trying to hold him back. No, no, no. The Rock took your slap like a man. As a matter of fact, The Rock started smiling. Yeah, because The Rock likes pain. But that's a whole other conversation. And Cody Rhodes, The Rock couldn't wait. The world couldn't wait to see how you were gonna react and respond after that Friday slap. On Monday Night Raw, 2 days later, what were you gonna do? And you get on Monday Night Raw, you get in the middle of that ring, the world is watching, and here's what you did. Here's how you responded to the biggest moment of your career when you slapped The Rock. Take a look.
My mother. She's the only one I got left. And I can't hand it to Dusty Rhodes, but I certainly can hand it to Michelle Rubio. Arm.
Are you fucking kidding me? You start fucking crying? You start crying? That's how you respond? No wonder all your fans are crybabies. Cody crybabies. No wonder, because they're Superman, they're hero. He's not crying too. You can cry. You can cry. I can't give the belt to Dusty, but I can give it to my mama. I can give it to my mommy. My mommy. Shut the fuck up. Give it to your mommy. Cody. This is how real it is to The Rock. Chills. This is how real it is to The Rock. You ain't giving the title to your mama. You ain't giving that title, the universal title, to your mama. That title is gonna remain around the waist of Roman Reigns. But here's what's gonna happen at WrestleMania. And The Rock wants your mama to have a front row seat. Mama Rhodes! The Rock is talking to you. Yeah. Now you're in The Rock's crosshairs. Here's what's gonna happen. Mama Rhodes, you're not gonna get the Universal title handed to you on night two of WrestleMania. No, no, no. You're gonna get a title handed to you. You're gonna get a belt handed to you. It's gonna be The Rock's belt. It's gonna be something like this. Something like this, leather, from a bull. Blood, sweat, respect. The blood part, that's gonna be your son's blood. It's gonna be all over this belt. I'm gonna take this belt, Mama Rhodes, and I'm gonna whoop your son. I'm gonna whoop him like a dog. I'm gonna whoop the piss out of him. I'm gonna whoop the blood out of him. I'm gonna get all his blood on this belt and all his sweat on this belt is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna whoop him and whoop him and whoop him and whoop him in front of the world. Now I'm gonna take this belt, Mama Rhodes, full of your son's blood, and then I'm gonna hand it to you in front of the world. And I'm gonna say, here you go, Mama Rhodes. You're gonna be crying just like your son, just like all of his Cody Crybaby fans, because you're all a bunch of crybabies. You're gonna be crying. Why are you so mean to my son, Rock? Give you this belt, Mama Rhodes. And I'm gonna say, Mama Rhodes, here's your belt. Now down is the direction you can sit. I'm gonna look at your son who's gonna be in the middle of the ring bleeding, crying. Look at all his Cody Crybaby fans. And tell them off is a direction you can fuck. And that's how you end a story. And that is how Cody Rhodes, your story is gonna end at WrestleMania, boy. Crying in a pool of your own blood, this belt sitting in your mama's lap. And Mama Rhodes, don't worry. There's two things that you could do about it. Nothing unlike it. Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania, your story's gonna end courtesy of Roman Reigns and courtesy of your nightmare. The Rock, the final boss. If you smell what The Rock is cooking. Now, Mama Rhodes, don't go crying too much now. We'll see you at WrestleMania. Shit.
That was great. Okay. Unmute. That was great.
Yes, that was absolutely great.
Oh my God. I have never heard a Rock promo like that since I heard that. I was like, what? This is some kind of promo.
That was amazing. That was absolutely amazing.
That right there is an A+. Right there.
Yes. But here's my guess, right? So if they're going in the direction of the Rock turning on Roman, which is a possibility, but they don't have to do that now based on how this is going, but it is a possibility. And if they do, the catalyst for that, I believe, should be the fact that The Rock is calling himself the final boss.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. The one part I love. Down is where you can, is the direction you can sit. Off is the direction that you can fuck. Like, damn. Okay.
Exactly. That's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Did she catch the Ric Flair reference?
Where was that?
There's two things you can do about it. Nothing and like it.
Oh, yes.
That was Ric Flair right there. That was Ric Flair right there.
Very good.
But let's see. We have 5 minutes to go. I don't want to get into AEW right now. So, Ben, when you see, we stop it right here and we'll be back with AEW Big Business.
Absolutely.
All right, we're back and we're going to get into AEW from Boston. This is Big Business, Ben. What do you have for Big Business?
And the biggest piece of business was, we got that right from the start. a Mercedes pulled up while Renee Paquette was in the back, hyping up the start of the show. She was in a parking lot, kind of. It was very WWE-ish when somebody big arrives, and then the Mercedes pulls up. Not exactly subtle as to who's in the car, but it didn't really have to be. And then of course you get the door opening, and then you get the opening package for the show, and then out comes Mercedes Moné. So the former Sasha Banks is indeed All Elite, and that in and of itself is big business. Regardless of how you feel about her personally, if you think she's great, if you think she's comes with drama or she's got a big ego.
Oh my God,
Well,
people are already starting on Facebook. I was scrolling through Facebook. They're already starting with the comments. Well, that's totally because they're saying now, so now she's apparently the highest paid woman in AEW. And that.
but to be honest with you, talent wise, she should be.
And then these people are like, well, that's Tony's problem then. If he wants to pay out that money, it's his daddy's money anyway.
Well, they're not exactly wrong, Elio. I've noticed that they're using the money as the way to like take shots at him, but it's like, people can't help what families they're born into. Just because their family has money doesn't mean that he that's a bad thing, or like he's an asshole for spending his money on something he wants.
And then another one said, I think AEW is just signing all the big names so WWE doesn't get them. They're doing what WCW was doing and towards the end.
But that is a fair point. That's a fair point in a lot of cases, but I think with Mercedes Moné, I think that is a huge, huge deal that she's there, and I think it's a good thing for both AEW and the business of professional wrestling that she's back on
Now,
TV on a weekly basis. I do think that's a very good thing.
did she have work done on her face?
It certainly looked like it. And look, I'm not the guy that's going to comment on looks because I don't belong on any of
No,
these.
I'm saying because like some people were saying she had Botox.
Well, she could have, but I don't know that if for a fact. Like it's to me, it wasn't like blatantly obvious as it is, say, with somebody like Charlotte Flair. But once again, I'm not criticizing
No,
on.
to me she looked fine. Like her presentation was like I
Yeah.
was telling you, it was a high point and low point. Presentation was a high point, but her promo was the low point because there were too many WWE references.
Well, I agree, and also I think, one, I understand it because she was in Boston, and that's home, and she probably was legitimately touched by the reaction
No, that's fine. Like Kieran Boss, yeah.
and stuff like that. So I do understand it from that perspective. I absolutely do, and I don't want that to get lost or for any listeners to think that we don't understand that aspect of business or personal gratification for coming back to your hometown for something as big as this. But in terms of what she had to say, I would have preferred a more character-driven promo. Just kind of a like cutthroat kind of, I'm coming to own AEW. I'm the CEO of AEW now.
Okay, what do you think of that? 'Cause I know they can't use the boss for for obvious reasons, but what do you think of that this CEO?
I like it. They were doing the same thing when she was in New Japan. She
What?
got the same entrance that she had in New Japan.
What the CEO chant? Okay.
So I mean, I give
I
it.
think I missed that one. I think I we saw Battle in the Valley. I don't think I saw the Japan one.
Battle in the Valley was Japan.
Oh yeah, sorry, that it was, yes. That's right.
But historically, I in ring, I love Sasha Banks. I do entirely 100% believe her when she says that she is passionate and devoted to this business. So from that perspective, I'm absolutely pumped that she's back, and it's great for the business of professional wrestling.
And we had a couple of WWE names in attendance.
Yes, we did. And her friends showed up for her, which I think is fantastic. Her Bailey, Naomi, and God, who was the other one?
There was someone else. I forget who the other one was. One
Bill, the
second.
Billy, Naomi, and one other one. They posted a video on Twitter of them, putting on
The mask, yeah.
like the bank robber mask and shit,
Yeah. Like, wait, what?
So I thought that was absolutely hilarious
You see Naomi, you think anyone will notice?
and. Yes, and just because that would make me laugh my ass off if my friends showed up like
Right.
that for me. And regardless of whether they were joking around, or if my friends showed up for me like that, that would mean a lot to me, and I'm sure that meant a lot to Mercedes as well.
Yeah.
And I understand the negative comments on Mercedes as well. She kind of has that, CM Punk feel to her a little bit for me. But at the same time, I think the wrestling media has made her out to be something that she's not. I know that when I know there was an incident years ago where it was reported that she was laying on the floor crying
Yeah. Well,
after.
they were doing that. They were saying that about her and Bailey. They were both on the floor crying.
And I don't believe for a second that that was the case. I do not believe that for a minute. I think that's Dave Meltzer bullshit.
Dave Meltzer, I'm telling you, I swear, every time I hear Dave Meltzer, I'm like, well, I don't believe it then, because everything he says is a lie anyways.
So I don't think that she's nearly as bad as people say she is. I think maybe she has an ego, that's a little big, but then again, from time to time, so do I. And I think when you stand up for something you believe in, people are gonna say you have an ego, and that's not always the case. And I've been accused of that many times. So I tend to side with people who stand up for themselves, much like I've sided with CM Punk. But yeah, that was the biggest piece of business, pardon the pun, for AEW. That's what everybody's talking about, and what they
Yeah,
should be talking about,
like I
to
said,
be honest.
she looked good, but I don't know about the hair. I mean, what do you think about the hair?
The hair was a little much for me. She
Yeah,
not
right.
no no
I'm not used to the hair. I'd rather see that blue hair, or that even that light blue that they have in some of her pictures.
You know, but I mean, she's gorgeous, but the hair wasn't doing her any favors.
No.
But like I said, I'm very excited about Mercedes, and I think she's gonna make AEW better, which makes wrestling better. You know, all this tribalism about WWE and AEW, the bottom line here, folks, is, you know, you shouldn't be cheering for the demise of any wrestling company because that hurts the business that we love.
There's no war going on except in your heads.
Exactly. So if you're cheering for AEW's demise or WWE's demise,
Then
then
you're the problem.
exactly. So kindly leave this podcast if you're one of those few. But match wise, let me ask you something, man, because right off the bat, I'm kind of in the middle here.
Oh no, are you I know what match you're talking about. Is it the first match?
Samoa Joe
What?
and Wardlow. Because I'm, to be honest with you, I watched it back in its entirety 3 times because I was confused.
Okay.
What did you, before I say anything, what did you think of this?
Smash is boring. Freaking Wardlow getting a championship match. Okay, you know what? Fine. For as long as he's been there, he should get a championship match, but against Samoa Joe.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, with this new alignment that he has with the Undisputed Kingdom,
I
don't you
hate that.
think,
I hate that name.
well, so do I, but don't you think the match should have been more competitive?
Yes, and in order, have you noticed anytime Adam Cole's involved in something, it's undisputed this, undisputed that.
Yeah.
Like,
I
stop.
have.
Why
Yeah.
does it have to be undisputed this or whatever, undisputed that? Stop.
Let's be clear, folks. Undisputed Era is not coming back, and
No.
Undisputed Era in NXT is so much better than Undisputed Kingdom in AEW. Come on.
That's it. You know what? We're changing the title of this podcast. It's going to be the Undisputed Progression Wrestling Podcast.
Well,
Oh,
no, it's not, because we messed with the idea of changing the podcast name once
you see what
before.
I did there?
Yes, and it didn't work out the first time, so we're not going to try that again. Plus, even if we did, the PNC Progression Wrestling Podcast is plastered all over it, and we can't get rid of that, so it doesn't make any sense. But yeah, this one was just weird. And I don't want to say it was a bad match because that would be unfair, but it was almost like a squash match in favor of Samoa Joe. And listen, you know, I didn't expect Wardlow to win. I don't think anybody did. But certainly he deserved more than to be involved in a squash match because now, where does Undisputed Era go from here? Or, I'm sorry, Undisputed Kingdom. And it's just, I'm very confused.
And I'm confused on this new Kyle O'Reilly. Because what?
Well,
What?
yes, so am I, but given the fact that he's been gone for 2 years and he's only been back for 2 weeks.
Yeah, we are. I mean, we'll just wait and see what they do with him. But like,
Yeah.
it was just a weird way to bring him back at the end of that match at Revolution.
You know, the match left me scratching my head. I don't want you to think that I thought it was a bad match. Because I think that would be unfair to the competitors, but it just was like, what was this? And a personal high point for me, even though I don't like these kind of matches, was the fact that Pac is back.
Yes.
Apparently he returned on last weekend's Collision. I don't watch Collision.
And do I.
With everything that this podcast and our sister show entails, and up until very recently, our mutual work with Wrestling POV, I just have too much on my plate. And even with me stepping back from POV, having two shows in effect, that's still a lot. And like, to be honest with you, I just don't understand the purpose of Collision. I don't understand it.
I don't get it. Why do you have Collision? Why is Collision still around?
You
do remember why they created Collision, right?
Yes,
why is it still around?
I don't know. I don't know. But I did enjoy seeing Pac back, and I do find a heel Okada to be very interesting. I'm not a fan of the Young Bucks, and I never will be. But this presentation of the Young Bucks has been my favorite.
I do like the new character that they're portraying.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And then if this leads us to an Okada versus Omega match at some point, sign me up for that.
Yep.
Now I will say, and this part is probably going to piss some people off, but like I said, I don't care because I always call it the way I see it. And I'm very interested to get your take on this too. Are you ready for the IWC to explode, or at least those who hear this? Is Kenny Omega overrated to you?
I'd say a bit overrated, I'd say, yeah.
Because
before I even heard of Kenny Omega, before 2018, I didn't know Kenny Omega. I only ever heard the name. But then I started seeing him, and like, he was everywhere. I'm like, okay, why? This guy, why?
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I think he's a good wrestler, but I don't see the wow factor with him.
Yeah.
And I mean no disrespect. I just don't. But with Okada, I can sense it. But I would be very interested in Okada versus Omega at some point.
But I did like that backstage where they said it was Matt's birthday, and Okada told Alex Marvez to wish him a happy birthday. No, I meant sing it.
Yeah, that was hilarious. And the match wasn't bad either. But no. Okay. Now this has to be a low point. Darby Allin versus Switchblade Jay White.
This match was weird. I don't get this match.
Why is it? And this is, I feel like you can just hit pause and rewind, and you'll hear me say the same thing about Darby Allin over and over again, but he continues to do the same thing over and over again. We had this discussion after Revolution when he damn near killed himself. He looked like a fucking murder victim. But
wait, did he do something just as stupid?
Yes.
One time? I might have missed it. Because I'd step away for a few.
So okay, so he absolutely did, and if you can find this on YouTube, I want you to, not necessarily now, but you know, go back and either watch AEW or.
Oh, I still have it recorded.
Okay, well then you'll see what I'm talking about.
Okay.
So the thing that I'm talking about is Jay White is prone on the apron. So Darby goes to the top and gets himself in position for the coffin drop. Okay, but then Jay White kind of like re-maneuvers himself, so you think he's kind of out of bounds, and you see Darby kind of reposition himself, so maybe he's getting down. No, he's gonna go for a more dangerous version of the coffin drop because now he's on now Jay is directly on the apron, and we all know that the apron is the hardest part of the ring, and trust me,
Is that
I
why the
know.
sharp the sharp edge of the apron?
Yeah,
Yeah.
I know for a fact because not last weekend, but the week before that, I was at the wrestling show for Elite, and I. Before the show, I always go up to the ring and test the ropes and the apron and what such.
Test the ropes. What?
Yeah.
To make sure like everything is all good.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
People kind of do that when they're warming up and stuff. So I kind of go up and grab the ropes and stuff like that, kind of check the apron and see if it's taped down and things like that, which it always is, but I just kind of like to get a feel for the ring too a little bit.
Yeah, that's cool.
I can't do it nearly as much because I'm in a wheelchair, so it's like I can't get in the ring, but it's cool to be able to feel the ropes and feel around the ring a little bit. But because of that, I can tell you that the apron is the hardest part of the ring. Like I know that from physically touching it and experiencing it, not just hearing about it. So he does the coffin drop, and of course Jay moves.
Ben, I'll be right back. I'll be right back.
And of course, Jay moves, Darby goes plummeting off the fucking apron. And I thought for sure that somebody was gonna have, like, we were gonna have a medical crisis, right there on Dynamite, And I was reading in the news. I forget who said this, but somebody was saying that I think it was Al Snow, actually. Al Snow was saying directly, somebody's gonna die right in front of your eyes on AEW television if something isn't done very quickly, because the style that some of these guys wrestle is absolutely ridiculous. I actually let me see if I can pull up the interview while Elio steps aside, so I have the correct wording, so I'm not putting words in anybody's mouth. Let me see if I can find it. Oh, and right as I'm scrolling through articles trying to find it, there's a report from today, March 15th, that Darby Allin suffered a foot injury where he broke three bones in his foot during the match with Jay White on Dynamite, which is the very match that we're talking about right now. So not only are we saying this is stupid because he could really possibly get hurt, but he actually did hurt himself. While they did the angle to kind of write him off, he actually did hurt himself. And he's scheduled to climb Mount Everest, but I'm not sure how he's gonna do that with a broken foot. And I'd be very curious to see if it happened on the coffin drop, because it very well could have, because it got good God, it's so stupid.
I have a question.
So did you hear what I just said?
I hear what you said, but I have a question.
Yeah.
Can nobody just fuck off? Like, stop doing this shit. He's gonna kill himself. Seriously.
Well, that's what I'm saying, right?
He's gonna
So,
injure himself or someone else in the ring.
apparently he did, because he
No,
broke his
I
foot.
heard what you said, but I'm saying he's gonna either kill himself or kill someone else one of these days if he doesn't slow it down. And people have already told him to slow down.
So let me see if I can find the so this article that I just found proves our point even further. So let me see if I can find the article with Al Snow and what he has to say. Hang on 1 second. Hold on. I'm scrolling. Why don't you give us your highs and lows for Dynamite
All
while I'm
right.
doing this?
So, for my high point, low points. We already said the Mercedes Moné low point was. It was a low point because of the match itself, but like it wasn't bad. But the Samoa Wardlow, not necessarily the match itself, but like just like that, it was more of a squash match. The six man was a high point. This Darby Allin was a low point. But this next match was another low point for me. Chris Jericho and Hook versus the Gates of Agony. How is Hook throwing Bishop Khan and Tua Leona around like that?
Exactly. I just, and Lion Hook, folks, come on.
Oh,
And
yeah,
he
stop it. Wait, who said that? Was it Renee that said that? Because I heard that part. But was she the one that came up with that? Was it the hook?
I don't think so.
No, who was it that came up with Lion Hook?
Oh, I don't know.
That's just stupid. Don't do that. That should go in the book just for that alone. But this is weird. The main event was Willow Nightingale and Rio.
Why?
I get it, the
I don't get it.
history. I get it, the history between Mercedes and Monet and Willow Nightingale, but this did not need to be a main event.
No, it didn't. And I can't find the article right now. And I
Okay, so
apologize.
Ben, did you? Okay, this is gonna bother me because do you know who stepped up to challenge Willow Nightingale for the ROH Women's Championship?
Wasn't it Julia Hart?
No, it was Hikaru Shida.
Oh,
Why?
I
Why?
don't know.
Okay, tell me what's wrong with that picture.
Many things.
But number one is it's ROH and Hikaru Shida's AEW. What, she's going to defend an ROH title on AEW television?
Yeah.
What?
It's just
So.
weird.
So, I mean, that's all I have for high points and low points.
I agree with everything you said.
Was it a bad show? No, but it was a weird show, somewhat.
I think so.
Yeah. All right, so that is all we have. So, Ben, now we can move over to. The tournament, the tag team tournament, we are going to. Hold off on that because I was going to do that today, but today was just an off day, so we'll save that. But we do have Dark Side of the Ring.
Indeed, we do. And
However, we should take a break before we get into that.
oh, okay.
Because the clock says 7 minutes, and like you really want to start Dark Side only to like come back and continue it.
No, I don't. So we'll go ahead and
Right.
take a break right here, and we'll be right back to give you Dark Side of the Ring, Buff and the Bagwells, and we'll wrap up the show as usual with Wrestling Roulette. Stay right there.
All right, we're back, and we are going to get into the final segments of the tonight's show, that being Dark Side of the Ring, followed by Wrestling Roulette, then Dark Side of the Ring.
So this one was definitely a return to form, to the usual Dark Side of the Ring format. Because last week with John Earthquake Penta, it was kind of very lighthearted until the very end when they were talking about him passing away from bladder cancer. That part was heavy, but the rest of the thing was a very nice tribute to him. This one was only nice in the respect that, unlike a lot of his counterparts featured on the series, Buff is alive to tell his story, and he seems to be on the mend from his addictions and various demons.
Spidey rings are good too.
Yes, and the American males, the American,
Don't
yeah.
start.
That theme song is
That was
still
annoying.
horrific. It's horrific.
American males are. Even Bischoff said, "Shut up!" Now it's stuck. I'm gonna be stuck in my head.
Yes. Which I thought was hilarious for him to say, and very true. But in addition, before we get started here, or too deep into this. You should also check out Buff and Scott Riggs. They're featured in recent videos on DDP's DDP Yoga channel, talking more in depth about their recoveries and situations that led them to his accountability crib and DDP is just awesome with how he helps people, and and Buff and Scotty were featured in a very good 9 minute and 24 minute video, like back to back. So if you haven't seen that yet, they're on YouTube. But this was kind of an extension of that a little bit, only it was kind of more in depth just on Marcus and his aka Buff and his family background. And some of this is absolutely insane.
Oh my God. Okay, the one thing I never want to hear about again is Buff in the bathtub and his mother doing whatever. No. What? When I heard that, I was
No.
like, oh no. I'm like, what?
No, and the way Slick was and when I say Slick, I
Rick
don't mean
Johnson.
yeah, I mean
Yeah.
the former WCW and TNA ref.
Yep.
The way he was telling the story, he was equally as repulsed. So I don't want to hear that story ever again.
No.
But oh shit, I accidentally hit a button. There we go. But we do get into some pretty dark stuff right off the bat. The first interview that we really get into was Buff's father Steve,
Yep.
Once we get done understanding his background as a drag racer and all that stuff, we're taken into an incident where Buff felt he was forced to shoot his father to defend his mother, and he actually did.
That
And
was crazy.
the only thing that saved his father's life was he put his hand up
Yeah.
over his heart or chest in self-defense right before Buff fired and the bullet went through his hand rather than you know, his chest. That in all likelihood, saved his life. So
That was crazy.
that was not a very bright picture to paint.
No.
But surprisingly, his father said, "You were exactly right to do what you did," because I was apparently he was high on cocaine, going after bus mom. So I can't say I would have done anything differently if I had been in that situation. But surprisingly, they're best friends now. So I don't know. That's a big incident to get past. But anyway, they also describe how the family had a lot of money. So growing up, he had a pool, tennis court,
A movie
movie theater.
theater? What?
Yeah, movie theater in the house. His dad got him a Corvette when he was 15.
I would have been friends with them.
Lucky bastard.
I know, right?
I'm a Corvette nerd. I admit I really, really like Corvettes. So I was quite jealous at 15. That was on the table for him. But I'm not gonna knock him. If you have the resources and your dad wants to do that for you, then more power to
All right.
you. So then we get to the part where Missy Hyatt told us that she discovered Marcus. Missy looks like she's been through the ringer two or three or four times.
See that interview that she did that where Mark Spiegel had the long hair, he had his hair tied back?
Where who?
Where Missy Hyatt was interviewing Buff Bagwell, and she introduced him. He had the long hair tied back.
Yeah.
I remember that one because I'm gonna tell you a bit of a story now. What WCW did you start watching? Because you said you started watching WCW 92. What did you start watching?
The first thing I remember seeing was Flying Ryan Pillman, so that would be around the
No, but
times.
what shows were around then?
Oh, well, it was shit, I don't even know. Saturday, like what was the one on Saturdays? Because
WCW Saturday Night?
that was the first one I saw, yeah.
Okay, so because I remember I started watching WWF, but in 99, around 1990, 91, I started getting into WCW because we started getting WCW here on this
Yeah.
channel called CTV, Canadian Television.
Right.
So of course, it used to come on at midnight on Saturday nights and like, and I could never stay up till 12 a.m. But I wanted to watch it, so I would sneak upstairs. I turn the volume down on the TV, turn the TV on, and then like set up my timer, and I like quietly walk back down to my room. So
Oh, that's awesome.
it's like. But
That's
I would do like to where I was trying not to wake anyone up. Then I'm walking down one night. I'm walking downstairs. All I hear is my brother say, "Go back to sleep."
Oh dear. I
And
think
so
you told me that.
So that was the first one I saw. It was WCW Worldwide. But then on Wednesdays we used to get WCW Power Hour with Paulie Dangerously and the whole and his Danger Zone segment. So
Right.
I remember like it was on an episode of Worldwide where I saw Missy Hyatt introduce Bagwell.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's a shame. I mean, I'm not trying to be mean, but Missy Hyatt used to be so pretty, and now it's like, oh
Oh,
my God.
Missy, yeah, I was like, wait, what happened to Missy Hyatt?
Jesus.
Yo.
Once again, I don't mean to be mean. I just, you know. Well. But anywho, so then we got into the relationship that he had with his mother, and how she was a tough woman. And
I think I would have been scared of her.
Everybody was like, "Don't fuck with Judy Bagwell," and I think even Eric Bischoff said something to that effect, and he also said that he saw where Buff got his thirst for show business from.
But what was kind of creepy was I believe it was his second wife, Judy Bagwell. Like, that's so creepy.
I think that was his third wife, actually.
Okay, but still, it was kind of a bit weird.
But you know what's weird? All his ex-wives seem to like him.
What?
Do you understand how rare that is?
Like, yeah, I was like, what?
None of his ex-wives had anything bad to say about
him. No, I'm like, wait a minute. Should he be hating the guy for what he did to you?
Exactly. Because apparently he met the first wife at 18, and then I think cheated on her with some girl that he met at the strip club where he was working as a stripper.
Oh,
if I'm not mistaken. Which that was imagery I didn't need. Thank you.
No, but then we know where they got the American Males. Tag team my characters from. It's like, okay.
Oh my god. just gives me the heebie-jeebies. It's like, right. Thank you. But overall, once we got into talking about how Buff came back from his addictions, and especially when he was talking about the part where his mother developed dementia and how hard it was for him to deal with that and her eventual passing. You know, then you got to see the real, you know, Mark Bagwell and not the show business aspect of him. Because, like, you know, there were, like, several weird aspects to this, because they covered the part where he was the male gigolo and he was on that reality show, but he wasn't actually supposed to be, you know, doing anything with him. You're just supposed to, like...
I don't even remember that show.
Like, I didn't know about it because I wasn't watching that shit back then.
Right?
I don't even want to watch that shit now.
Exactly.
But it was very strange. So once we got past that and more into, like, you know, who he was and why he turned out some of the way that he did, that made me connect with him as a human being and not just the, you know, weird character kind of thing. Because if you really think about it, the Bagwell character was fucking weird.
Yeah.
You know, but he was one of the ones that I remember being a fan of when I was young because of the in-ring stuff, but I always found the character to be weird. Like, even as a kid, I'm like, I don't want to see that shit.
But wait, did he say at the end that he wants to get back in the ring?
Yeah, and I think that would be tremendous. I think...
Where would he go? Where would you want to see him?
I don't know if it would be for a major company or an independent. I know Scotty Riggs got back in the ring after he got cleaned up. They featured that on the DDP yoga special I mentioned a little bit earlier. He's in his 50s or something, and they showed a clip of the match, and he had a fucking clean-ass dropkick.
And wow.
He had not been in the ring for 15 years. This is a man who was homeless, living in his car, and he said that the phone call from Buff was what saved him from ending his life. So The bad part was really good to see. So if Buff wants to go that same route and get back in the ring, and if
Yeah.
that would make him feel good, then I'm all for it. Now, granted, I want his knee to heal first because they were showing some of the knee issues both on the DDP special online and on the Dark Side thing. They kind of did a close up of the knee issue that he's having.
Yep.
I don't know exactly what it is, but god damn, that shit is nasty. It's like an open wound that won't heal. It's like fuck. So get that taken care of and then get back in the ring. We don't,
Yes.
you know, we don't need to have you have an amputation. And I'm not trying to be funny. I'm saying that because I care. Like I don't want you to hurt yourself, unnecessarily when you have that issue with your leg.
It'll be a Darby Allin.
Well, exactly. And
And I'm not even
I
being funny, I'm being serious too.
well, yeah, and it's very important because it's like I would never joke about someone getting seriously hurt because I'm in a wheelchair, so it's like, well, who am I to joke about that shit? Like, I don't, but I legitimately call me good-hearted, call me a sissy, whatever you want to say. I don't want to see people getting hurt. I hate that. So take care of yourself first, obviously. But if you're ever able to get back in the ring, I'd like to see it for sure. It ended up being a good episode because of the way it ended. Had it ended, like so many of these others have. Like I forget who said it. It might have been Slick or somebody else, but somebody said that for years he was preparing for a call that Buff had passed away, like, and he wouldn't have been surprised by it. So it's
I remember that part.
It's good that seemingly he's come out the other side and been all the better for it, and I certainly wish you the best in your sobriety as well. So,
But we never got the story behind those ridiculous Judy on a pole match.
yeah,
You
that's the one thing I was waiting for. Like, you know.
I'm gonna Google that off air. I just confirm my own curiosity because it
But
didn't bother me.
maybe that will be a like a on air extra that they release online or something. That would
Maybe.
be funny. But
But
yeah,
I was looking at next week's episode.
the Fabulous Freebirds,
The
specifically
Fabulous
Terry
Freebirds.
Gordy.
Yep.
And he for those of you that don't know, Jesse from Jesse and Festus is actually his son.
And Ben, I have a question. How many episodes are there?
I want to say they're 10.
I'm gonna look that up because I'm asking because I was looking at IMDb, which is why I said that next week's episode, and they only have four listed there, but I'm pretty sure there's 10.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna look that up. I'm gonna look right now, real quick.
I'm not sure. But yeah, that wraps up our Dark Side of the Ring. And once Elio looks up this piece of info regarding the number of episodes, we'll get into our final segment, Wrestling Roulette, which
They just everything after Brutus Beefcake, which is episode 4. Everything after that is TBA. So I guess we don't know what we're gonna get.
okay. Yeah, and to be honest with you, I'm not re I mean, I'll watch it, and if it ends up being interesting, we'll cover it. But as of right now, I'm not really interested in
Yeah,
Brutus the
no.
Barber Beefcake.
Yeah, I don't think anyone is. I'm certainly not. I'm so mad at him. Snow showing the podcast. Straight good. Shut your ass.
Exactly. But shall we move on to Wrestling Roulette?
Yes, we'll be back shortly. I'm just gonna set up the playlist. All right, it is time for wrestling roulette. Way it works. I play 21 tracks, 10 seconds. Ben has to guess which wrestler that theme belongs to. Obstacles along the way. A wrestler's theme shows up more than once. It is minus 1 point. Ben, are you ready for your first one?
Yes, sir.
Glitter, glitz, sparkle, bliss.
Alexa Bliss.
Alexa Bliss. All right, here we go.
Turn it up!
That was interesting.
Turn it up!
Got it too, Hottie.
No, it is not.
Yes, it is.
It's all right I have here.
Too cool or Scotty too.
All high. Right.
Get the fuck out of here.
Okay. You're up to two. Here we go.
Nathan Jones.
How? Ow. Okay. You have the three. Here we go.
Charlotte Flair.
Charlotte Flair. All right. Here we go.
Oh, you didn't know, you better call somebody. The D-O-double-G, it can't quit, get rowdy.
Road Dog, Jesse James.
Okay. I'm waiting.
I've never heard of that version.
What?
I said, I've never heard that version either. I don't know.
That's from the Uncaged CD.
Okay. I don't know.
But you're missing one. You have Road Dog, you're missing one.
Is that and Mr. S?
No. That's Kay Quick.
Oh, well, give me a half a point. We'll do like 4.5.
I'll give you 4.5.
That's what I just said.
So I'm not going to change your score because it's still at 4, but it's 4.5. Okay, here we go. Next one.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Now it's Stone Cold. But what it was with these horrible themes?
I know. These rematches really suck.
All right, here we go. Track number 7. Here we go.
Deuce and Domino?
Yes. How?
I just remember that because I know they're Jimmy Snuka's kids.
Number 8.
Pass.
That is Lyra Valkyria.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't have got that. I don't really watch NXT.
All right, track number 9. You're up to 6, so you're doing good.
Is that Last Legend?
Yes. Number 9, here we go. Hell, hell, hell.
War Raiders or Viking Raiders?
No, it's not. That is Dijak. You never get that one. But like, they need to go back to this one. This one was cool.
Okay.
So that was number 9, right?
Yeah.
But I don't get this new theme he has. I out for this one.
Yeah.
All right, number 10. Here we go.
World's largest love machine, Viscera.
I like that beat in the middle, but I gotta tell you, like, the gimmick is just Viscera.
Yeah, so that's number 10. All right, you up to 8. All right, you know what? I'm just gonna give you that 1 point for the cake quick. I'll just give you the 5. Okay. So you got the 5. It's 8 and 8. So track number 9. Here we go.
Pass.
Dolph Ziggler.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's a bonus track by Beta Wolf. It's off of the Music Volume 2.
And who was it again?
Beta Wolf.
Dolph Ziggler.
It's Dolph Ziggler.
Holy shit, that was bad. Okay.
All right, number 10, here we go.
Braun Strowman.
All right, number 11. I need a lot more of this.
Seven.
That is Jay White.
Since the fuck when, man?
Yeah, Jesus. They use this in AEW. This is a New Japan theme.
Oh, what? Okay.
You never heard this one?
No.
Oh, yeah, they've used this in AEW as well. All right, number 12.
Baron Corbin,
you're up to 10. All right, number 13.
Listen, it's hard. You know it's time for revolution. It's hard. I give you proper execution.
Do you live around?
No, it's not. That is Gregory Helms.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember now.
Okay, that was 12 or 13?
That was
12, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll go with that. Rising from the ground, echoes of the
sound, ashes of the past. Is that Tyson Kidd?
Yes. How? Okay, number 14. Are you ready?
Yeah. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
No, it's not.
Ultimo Dragon. They sound almost identical.
I think you told me that it was the other one that they used that was the same one, right? I think you told me that they both used the same. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Undertaker.
By the way, if you want to look that up, that's from a movie called Excalibur. Alright, number 16. Chant. Yeah.
Didn't they use that chant in Chucky?
I don't remember which one. Which
like
Chucky?
The very first one.
Child's Play? I gotta go rewatch that. I don't know, I should rewatch that though. Okay, here we go, number 16.
That's a bona fide way to piss Tony off, but that doesn't cost me a point on this show, at least not yet. Watch it bite me in the ass, but for right now, Taz.
Yeah, Taz, all right, number 17.
Seth Rollins.
Doesn't that sound somewhat like Bailey's?
Yeah, and it also sounds like Bo Dallas.
All right, number 18, here we go.
The game we play is simple. Psycho Sid.
What is wrong with me? Okay, it's 18, right? Number
19. Yep.
Here we go.
My pick for the greatest theme of all time, Four Horsemen.
I love that theme. All right, number 20.
I absolutely love it. Jonathan Coachman?
No, he's not. That is Grayson Waller.
Oh, okay.
All right, number 21. Are you ready for the last one?
Yes, sir. We share the same birthday, Mick Foley.
No, it's not. It's Mankind. There's a difference.
Big difference. Give me the fucking point, bitch.
All right, so your final score is 18.
I think that's the best I've ever done.
That was good. All right, so that is Wrestling Roulette. And we're bringing the show to a close.
Absolutely, man.
All right, so that is it for episode 305, the MVP episode. We will be back on Tuesday with our look at SummerSlam 1990 on Tuesday Timeline. But for now, I'm Elio. He's Ben. Say goodnight to the fans.
Thanks for hanging out with us. And once again, this was the MVP episode. Very clever to start and end the show for Elio. And he definitely knows how to do this. Tune in next time. We'll see what else he comes up with.
While the sick get sicker, the profits from the people feed the poor another needle. The flames get bigger
while the moths all shiver. The subsidizing evil with no budget for a sequel. The Prozac's gift wrapped with a smile. The cash grab never goes out of style.